Blog Talk Radio.
In the night, I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul to a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? Oh, how could you be so heartless? How could you be so cold as the winter wind when it breezes, yo? Just remember that you talking to me, yo. You need to watch the way you talking to me, yo. I mean, after all the things that we've been through, I mean, after all the things we got into. Hey yo, I know it's some things that you ain't told me. Hey yo, I did some things, but that's the old me. And now you wanna get me back and you gon' show me. So you walk around like you don't know me. You got a new friend, well I got homies, but in the end it's still so lonely.
In the night I hear him talk,
Queen, and I'm here with my enlightened king, Chris. Say what's up to the family.
What's good, family? What it do? It's Mr. Selfishness himself today. I'm feeling good. We had some extreme technical difficulties today, family.
Sometimes.
I mean, we couldn't call into our own show. The pen wasn't working. Just a bunch of craziness, but we got that spirit on our side, so we always have a backup plan, and we used one of the three we had. So we're winning.
That's right. That's right. So, fam, if you have any problems hearing us or something doesn't sound too good, please let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know. Send us a message or, you know. Let us know.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys, we're using a different method of talking to you guys, so we may sound a little different, but the message will still seep through, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, definitely. So, again, we want to thank you for tuning in, and we will that everyone had a beautiful Sunday. You know that we did, even though it wasn't, you know, the nicest weather today.
Yeah.
It's been really nice all week, and then suddenly today it just kind of got
ugly,
gloomy and rainy, and
yeah.
And to those who celebrate Easter, happy Easter.
Yeah, and for those who don't, happy good day to you.
Happy Sunday.
You know, we celebrate every day, regardless of what some folks call a holiday. So every day is a good day to celebrate, in my book. We don't save it for a certain day. We ball out every day. So that's just how we roll. You know what I mean? What we do?
So like we do every show, we're going to give a rundown of our weekend because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, you want to tell the fam what we got into this weekend?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, Friday, what we do Friday? We went out to eat.
Did we go out to eat Friday?
Yeah, we did. We got sushi, didn't we?
Oh, we did. It was the first time we went out to, like, really eat in a while.
Yeah, it was a while. We been eating in a lot. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of good cooking. Like I said, for the followers who follow us every week, they know we got that Costco card. And we've been going Costco-ing crazy. But we had to take the ice trays out the fridge because we had so much food in there.
Yeah, we ain't got no ice cubes right now, fam.
Nah, we just been drinking stuff hot. Refrigerator hot. But we had some sushi. It was delicious. Wifey tried something new. She enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually have these specials every time. They do specials every day. And they had this one called the Home One.
Mm.
And I think it's just something that's unique to their restaurant that they do.
Yeah.
It's this great place here in Cincinnati called Ichiban.
Ichi.
And it's amazing.
Best seafood, the best sushi I've ever had in my life. The best seafood I had was that one, Papa Do's.
Well, you know it's rated the number one sushi restaurant in Cincinnati.
Really? Mm-hmm. It's the world, if you ask me. It's the world. If you live in the tri-state area, you're in Cincinnati, holler at me so we can link up at Ichiban and eat some sushi together. That's just what we do. And then yesterday, I was out all day with my mama, with my little nephew and my niece, my wife and my daughter. I left the house about 9:30 and then get back in until like 6. So we was out pretty much most of the day yesterday. Mm-hmm. We went out to eat. We went down to the market. Me and my mom hit 2 flea markets. And we were just busy all day yesterday and had a beautiful time hanging with the kids and my mom and my wife and my daughter. And we just kicked it all day pretty much.
Yep. And then me and Devin, little D, our daughter.
Little D.
We went to go pay my mom a visit. We saw my sister and my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk on the phone with my niece, Lauren. And solar work. Baby. We did solar work.
I did some solar work, too. I forgot to mention that.
You did no solar work.
I did. Yeah, I don't have to say everything I do with you.
Yes, you did.
You know? I didn't.
Eh?
Lori? Right, we on the air.
Go ahead.
I'm talking. Excuse her, family. She's trying to sip tea.
I am sipping tea. Go ahead.
I mean, I tell her.
I did solo work.
My solo work was beautiful. My solo work was beautiful. Me and my daughter both, we memorized this Nisa Vijaya. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that my solar work is on a whole nother level now. It's like the sun is beaming even stronger than before. And excuse that sound you heard, that was my daughter choking on air. She's choking on air. So if you heard that, sorry. I had to put her in the room and lock the door.
You know, I noticed that every show
she does something. Breaking dishes, knocking over spoons,
burping,
everything just... They're trying to sabotage us. Coughing, sobbing. Little D, boy. Woo! Thanks for the support.
Thanks,
Lil D.
We love you.
Yeah.
So, and then last night, me and Devin were up until like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I never stay up that late, so no. My energy is just like real low right now. But I'm trying to put it on for the fam, so.
Yeah, I fell asleep about 10:30 last night. Yeah. I had a busy day, so, you know. You hang around little bitty kids. They sap your juice. All the questions and pretty much the whole ride yesterday, I was giving my little niece and my little nephew math riddles and word problems. That's my idea of fun. Cut the radio off, forget all the chit chat. Let's get that brain stimulated. So I was giving them math problems and hard questions, and they were getting them all right. And I was asking them, like, well, you know, not saying that they're having problems in school, but, you know, sometimes kids do have a problem in school. So I asked them, I said, well, how is it able, you're able to get everything I'm giving you, but in school you're acting like you're not. And they were telling the truth. They pretty much told me that something about your delivery, Uncle Chris, just makes it fun. So for all the parents out there, you think your kids are having problems in school, they're just not having fun with it. So when you get home, do what I used to do with my daughter. Have fun with her. Don't get all mad. Have fun with her. You know what I mean? That's just a jewel, a parenting jewel.
You know, that's interesting because I remember when we were in school, we had, like, good teachers.
We did.
You know, well, not all of them.
80% of them were
amazing.
But majority
of them were great teachers. And I remember when our daughter was in school, we started seeing a change in it. We started seeing teachers that just...
Her teachers sucked. excuse my raw vernacular.
She had a couple good teachers.
But I counted two fingers.
Yeah, and she went to some really...
She did.
Great schools.
I was her teacher. I was at home up late night, missing my TV shows, making sure she knew how to tell time and had everything. She went everywhere with these deck of flashcards. We would always give her riddles. She'd get mad when we take a road trip.
Bought her workbooks.
Just made sure. You don't want to rely on a school system to prepare your child for this reality we live in. I think I made her too militant because at the time I was a real militant dude. I was getting a lot of letters home telling us, Stop telling the children that there isn't an Easter Bunny or there isn't Santa or, you know, just whatever was on.
Tell your daughter don't hit people back.
Yeah, we had issues with that, you know, but I'm a warrior bunny and I wasn't raising any punks, so.
But, you know, in all fairness, I understand the other side of it, too, because teachers are really underpaid.
They're underpaid.
They have these, you know, some of these children are bad.
Most of these kids are bad. Excuse me, most of these children are bad.
I understand both sides of it, but I agree with you that don't rely on the school system to take care of your kids.
Right.
You have to do your part and make sure. And not coming down hard on them about it.
Yeah.
Not coming, they get enough of that.
They get enough of that. I think a lot of parents, and this show is about the art of being selfish, but we do what we do.
I mean, we don't have a form in the beginning.
That's right.
Go ahead.
What was I talking about? Talking about the parents or something? Oh, yeah, I was saying that we forget that we were once children. I didn't forget. I forgot my life. But anyway, most parents forget that we were once children. And one thing I was always mindful of was how I felt at my daughter's age. When she come home and say, this teacher's being mean to me, I remember the teacher's being mean to me. I would always take her side, like, okay, I'm with you. All right, you got in trouble in school? Let's go out for ice cream. You know what I mean? Just let her know that your daddy and your mama, we're always here for you. Your mother, mama booty, we're here for you. And no matter what happened in school, I always let her know I'm her biggest cheerleader. You know what I mean? I was never like, oh, that's what they said. Well, that must be true. You know what I mean? So always take your kids' side. They won't forget if you don't have their side. They will always remember that. And they will be less likely to confide in you because you're not on their team.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So let's get into the show, babe. All
right.
Talking about these kids.
So today's show, we're going to be talking about the art of being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that being selfish is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to a degree, it can be. But there's also some great advantages to being selfish.
Oh, yeah.
So tonight, we're going to talk about how to master the art of being selfish.
Oh, yeah.
And doing it without guilt.
That's the key right there. We're going to get into that.
Yeah, so go ahead and start us out.
Well, I just want the family to realize that there's ups and downs all throughout life. In the end, things will start to smooth out. The art of being selfish isn't really about self-indulgence. It's about self-preservation. That's how I feel about being selfish, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we speak of selfishness, we're not really talking about the negative sense of the word. It isn't about living your life at the expense of others either, family. We're talking about being loving and kind and, you know, nurturing to yourself. I mean, because you is what matters. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go in on that a little bit?
Yeah, you're doing
fine. All right, I'll just keep going up the dome. Mm-hmm. It's about the commitment you make to yourself, toward yourself. It's about taking care of all aspects of your mind, your body, and your spirit. Without that, having that attitude, if you don't have like a caring, self-nurturing attitude about yourself, you're no use to anyone. I used to try to help everybody. I was everyone's go-to.
Yeah, you were.
I was like, no matter. Every day someone was calling me, asking me for something. Chris, can you help me move?
Somebody just messaged you, just asked me for something.
I just say no. That's my thing. You know what they say, the drugs, just say no. Remember they made a song about that, just say no?
Nah.
You do remember. You remember say just say no?
I don't remember a song. I remember the slogan.
The Bengals actually made it. They made a song about no to drugs. Just say no. Keep your self-control. Let you know your mind is free. I guess I was the only one paying attention in school. I wasn't a dork. I was a god. I was a god in school. When the teachers asked questions, everyone always looked at me. You know the question, answer. And I did. There were times when I would get woken up and answer the question. And people were like, how'd you do that? I would always say, because I'm always listening. Even when I look like I'm asleep, I'm listening.
I don't recall that, so I'm sorry.
It's all good. I figured you wouldn't. You weren't a winner in school like me.
Whatever.
Ever what?
I was a winner. I'm still a winner. I was born a winner.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So let me talk a little bit.
Please do.
I think that there's times in your life where you have to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying, that you don't want to be the go-to person all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you also want to make sure that you're not letting anyone else interrupt your goals or your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have dreams or goals that you set out for yourself, but because you're always attending to other people and everything, you end up putting those goals and dreams on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been guilty of, that I'm learning that I have to put forward now,
mm-hmm.
and I've been doing that. But, you know, when we put our dreams on hold, we're putting our lives on hold. We're putting our growth on hold. We're putting our potential on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And we're allowing other people are growing, and
yeah.
they're doing great,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we're helping them get ahead, but what about you?
Right.
So I think that people project their own version of reality onto you.
Oh, I like that. That's a jewel right there. Because whenever someone, you say, I'm about to do this, I'm about to do that, someone with a weaker mind or don't have any gumption or don't believe in themselves, they always project how they feel about it onto you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a selfish type person, you would take heed to that. Like, well, maybe I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they'll tell you that, too. You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. You need to focus on this instead.
Right.
You know, and they don't believe in your dreams.
Yeah. I think a lot of people miss out on opportunities, and they make it seem as if you're going to miss out on the same ones, too.
Oh, yeah. They'll tell you, like, well, that can't be done. I couldn't do it, so you can't do it either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I hear can't now, it makes me excited to prove people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Okay. I just say, okay.
You know what I do?
What?
I don't hang out with them. I hang around people who can.
Oh. Can-Can gang, though. Every member of our Can-Can gang is the winners.
Yeah, they are. Our spiritual family.
I can't. We used to hang around a bunch of losers. We did. But they were our friends. Long 20-year-old friends. They weren't winning. If you're listening today, you're not one of them. But if you're not winning,
loser.
Well, I just want the family to know your vibe attracts your tribe. Look at your close friends. Your friends are an extension of your mindset. The energy you give off attracts your friends. So be like, oh, my friends are losers. They're whores. Or whatever. They're an extension of who you are.
Likely you are too.
If you're not whoring, you're probably thinking about it. Yeah, you have whore tendencies. I smell whore all over you.
You know, we were over at my mom's house and we were talking about the type of people that you attract in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And even Lil B was saying that he was like, you know, you attract who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you attract a loser, there's some kind of loser quality about you that you're attracted to, and that you're attracted to their loser quality.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get
Lil D. I know Lil D be dropping some jewels sometimes. To be 20 years old, she's a really enlightened young lady. I mean, I was one of those daddies that was always talking. I mean, what you laughing for?
Because
he
would never have
to tell me, I'm like, what? I mean, but hey, I'm one of those daddies at my funeral. Y'all going to be laughing like he was always saying the same thing over and over. But I brainwashed my daughter to be strong, a winner, a go-getter. And even though she's small in stature, she's like 7 foot tall in her mind. Like when she goes places, she's like, I can't see the top of the refrigerator. But she feels as if she can. But that's the type of energy I put into my daughter. And I think we all need to start putting that energy into our people, our children, and our friends. Mm-hmm. Like now our circle, we have this go-getter energy. We're always thinking about spirit, rocking with the spirit, finding money, doing things, being productive, writing books. Just we getting it in.
Yeah.
And everyone in our circle is either inspired by us or they're inspiring us. If your friends aren't inspiring you, get new friends.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I would say that before we got with our spiritual family, I remember having all these dreams and goals and things that I wanted to do. I fooled myself or I let other people fool me into thinking that I couldn't do it.
Mm.
And when I started seeing people who were like, you know, regular people like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing these great things, and it was like, you know, and they embraced the spiritual side so strongly and with so much love, and it was like I saw that was a big reason why they were able to do the things that they
mm-hmm.
were able to do and be successful at it. And it was like, it's my time now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so.
Me personally, I was always wondering when my big break was going to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to hit the lottery? I'm going to find some money or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm my own break. I got to get out there and start breaking stuff.
Well, you know, and I hate to go here, but I'm
going
to go here.
Go ahead, baby.
So, I think that has a lot to do with our upbringing.
Yeah.
Because we're often taught that things will happen. Good things will happen to you. If you're a good person, then good things will pay off for
mm-hmm.
you. If you're a good person, a nice person, whatever, you will be saved.
Good things come to those who wait. No, they don't. Nothing comes. You'll be waiting.
And then the people who are out there going out and, you know, who have these successful things and doing these big things and, you know, they're living out their dreams or whatnot, they did it because they went out and they did something.
Mm-hmm.
They made a move. They didn't wait for a lottery ticket. They didn't right. wait for a spouse to take care of them. They
mm-hmm.
didn't wait for a good job. You
mm-hmm.
know, they did what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. I just think that you need to start being, like, detaching from the outcome of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking about starting a business or something like that, don't worry about the money coming in. Just start. Start today something. I don't care if it's reading about it, investing money in products, starting a website, whatever it is, just start. It takes a little bitty efforts every day, and then eventually you'll have a masterpiece out there. Taking care of yourself is the most important thing we can do out here, family. And it's not about working out. And it's not about eating right all the time. It's about how you think about things. You know, it's a culmination of things. You can't just work out, eat right, and not wash yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Did you just like wash yourself?
I did.
Like bathe?
Like bathe. That's not winning. He look good, but
he's
getting all the little tart.
Yeah.
You gotta do it all. We've all known that tart friend that had on nice clothes and it was tart.
I had some.
I was just too ashamed, like, bruh, you don't know you tart, man. I don't wanna be the one to let you know. But we's always like, here he come. Smelling my mouth away. He's out to who, you know who he is.
I was just going to say, I want to remind the fam that if they want to call in and talk about, have any questions about the shellfish or any questions in general, or if you just want to say what's up, our phone number here is 619-924-0835. And if you're already on the line, you can just hit the number 1. That'll let us know that you want to come through and make a comment.
I just think that detaching for your greater good and seeing people truth feelings is the real reward. I remember when I started detaching myself from family members and friends, people started hating me. They stopped inviting me over or they stopped calling me. But as long as I was doing things for them, it was as if they were feeding off me. But I was able to see people's real true feelings about myself when I started telling them no. Or I started charging them. That's when things changed. You know what I mean? Now, my phone doesn't ring. No one invited. And that's cool. I love it. But it's freeing up time for me to work on being the better version of myself. Mm-hmm. I have time to read books or I have time to, you know, invest in myself now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just think a lot of people out here, they believe that they don't have stuff. Or I don't have the right tools, or I don't have enough money, or whatever, to do what they want to do out here. And when you do that, you're pretty much declaring to the universe that you don't have it.
Well, and I think that a lot of people put other things above it. You know, you have to be selfish. The topic here is about being selfish.
Right.
So when you choose not to look out for yourself and go after the things that you want and the things that you need. Instead, you decide, well, I have to pay this bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of family. Sometimes I don't pay my bills.
Man, that's sometimes we just be like, you know what, that bill's going to get paid late. Let's go out and ball.
Right.
Hey, that's just how we roll. I'm not telling you to do that.
I mean, yeah, you don't have to do that, but that's what we do
sometimes. Yeah, sometimes we do. We don't do it all the time. It's very rare that we do it.
Nah.
But we do do it.
Depends on if it's something that's going on. If, say, for example, there's only an open window, a 3-day open window for you to get something that you really want.
Really want.
You know it's going to help you. It's going to benefit you. It's going to
make you feel good.
Yeah.
That's important.
And let's say at the same time your phone bill is due.
Mm-hmm.
I will call my phone company and say, I'm going to be late.
Make arrangements.
I'm getting this bill. Uh-huh. I'm getting this thing that I want. I'm being selfish.
It's an art to it, family. It's an art to it.
And I don't feel bad about it either.
Man.
Because when I get that thing that I want, that's all I care about.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said. You acted upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying you don't have it, you always say something like, I have.
Yeah.
And then you just...
Sometimes rather than like, I see something that I want, I see a spiritual tool or something that I want, and I don't look at it and go,
ooh,
I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I'm getting that.
Mm-hmm. That's
mine.
That's coming soon.
Can't wait for that to get here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or something along those lines, you know, when that gets here, I'm all over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. I own it before I even own it.
Mm-hmm. I like to, it's something I've been doing lately. I've been saying a lot of mantras, and I've been listening to my inner self a lot lately. And I've really been focusing on aligning myself with my inner vibration. Like, when I think about things, let's say, when I detach myself from reality or anything that's going on, like politics, the news, you're pretty much aligning yourself with your inner vibration. Then you start letting life just flow to you. And now I like to think that I'm in the flow of life. Every day I do something different. I walk a different way to the work or whatever. I do something different to catch that flow of my life. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get out of the flow of the life and then they get mad or bad things start happening and things like that. But if you tap into the flow of your life, things tend to be a little smoother for you. And since we've been rocking with this spirit, our life has been real smooth.
And I think one of the key ways to do that is to make sure that you are responding to the signs that are being given to you. Make sure that you are accepting the things that are coming through. If you are getting a sign that it's something that you need to do or something that you need to pursue, don't just take it as, oh, that was just a coincidence.
Mm.
No, there are no coincidences. Spirit is telling you, do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time for you to do this. It's aligning for you. If you're riding down the street and you hear a radio show play a commercial about something that you've been wanting to do, something that you've been
mm-hmm.
wanting to pursue, and you look at your clock and the numbers line up for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, everyone's favorite, it's 11:11.
Uh-oh. Oh, she's so cool.
It's so cool. Then, you know, that's a sign. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
You know, that's one thing I always tell myself. I'm setting myself up for success. So sometimes you have to be selfish to yourself.
Mm.
Like if you want to look good for this trip, you know you need to hit that gym. You better leave that French cruiser alone, Chris. You know what I'm saying? You got to set yourself up for success. That's one of my weaknesses, French cruisers.
It's all good.
It is all good. It's not my weakness. I love it, and I do it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. That's what you want
to
do.
You know, I think most of people need to learn to be selfish without guilt. You tapped on that earlier. That kind of stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
There should be no guilt in being selfish, family. Accepting selfishness as a weakness justifies that it's okay to belittle the importance of taking care of yourselves.
You know, I don't like it when someone is wanting to pursue something or do something
mm-hmm.
and a family member or a friend puts them down
mm-hmm.
or makes them feel bad for doing that instead of doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I don't know. I just think that that's kind of crappy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, if your family and friends really love you, they'll support you on whatever it is that you want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're not supporting your dreams, if they're trying to make you feel bad about, you know, doing for you instead of doing for everyone else, they don't care about you.
You know what? Ali told me something a couple years ago that really hit home. And he mentioned to me that your family's going to be the last people that support you.
Yep.
And he was not lying.
Nope.
I was thinking, once I get this radio show, my mama got 27 brothers and sisters. We got about 4,000 first cousins. No one calls in.
Mm-mm.
But it's okay. We don't care. You know, this radio show today is for someone 10 years from now, 20 years from now. A lot of people that put things out on YouTube isn't for right now. It's for the longevity effect. You know what I mean? So that's what this show is. We've done 38. It's our 38th show, right? Yeah, I think it's our 38th show, and it feels like our second, because we've been having so much fun, time is going so fast, it don't feel like my second.
I was going to say, I don't know about this.
It feels like my 40th. I do. You know, I just think, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I think that people tend to, when they're not getting what they want from you, then they'll put this guilt on you to make
mm-hmm.
you feel bad, and you know they have a way of trying to redirect you back to benefiting them instead of you benefiting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is, you know, for especially at the single parents out there who have kids and, you know, a couple kids or whatnot, we tend to always focus on taking care of our kids. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That should definitely be first priority. But at the same time, don't forget about you in the mix. You have an important role, too. And if you're not happy, if you're not, you know, doing the things that you love, and you're not teaching your children to do those same things, if you're just taking care of others, you're always, you know, spending, you know, restless hours just doing everything for everyone else instead of doing for yourself, you're teaching them that this is how they have to grow up and spend life. They have to work hard. They have to take care of other people. They have to do this. They don't make time for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that people should go out and just take a day to do whatever it is you like. Get your hair done. Go to a game.
Mm-hmm.
Watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do nothing if you don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
But do what you want to do.
If you can't do it once a week, do it once every 2 weeks. If not once every 2 weeks, have a day once a month where it was just your day.
Mm-hmm.
Be selfless like that. Be selfish like that. You know, I started doing it when my daughter got like 12. I said, you know what? 2 days a week, I'm going to take some martial arts classes. And my wife will tell you, on the days I have a stressful day and I go to class, I come home, I'm all tired, and I feel better because I'm doing something I love to do. Most people who are extremely negative don't do anything they love to do.
They don't
have anything. They be like, I don't know.
I don't have time to do that.
I don't have time. Make time.
There's always time.
Yeah, you gotta be selfish, man. You gotta be selfish with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Make time to do what you love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you like shopping. You don't always have to buy things. You can go, me personally, I used to go to the mall and just try on stuff. Like, ooh, I'm going to look good in this. Ooh, I'll be in the mirror like, yeah, dancing, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm going to look good in this. And hang that sucker back up. Like, okay, next week, I'm going to be in that. Okay. But do what you, that's not against the law. I know some folks test drive cars. They go to the car on Saturdays, they wake up early, go car lock the car lot. No, they got bad credit. Oh, they ain't got no money in the bank. But they get in the car and just be perfect. Cut it away. That's the radio station here. Hit the E-way. You can't go, I think, over 20 miles. Go 18 miles in that sucker and come right back.
Rent a car.
Do something. Go somewhere you've never been. Eat something you've never eaten. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, man. We got to start getting into the habit of treating ourselves. You know what I mean?
Self-love.
Self-love is important. Because if you love yourself, it's going to show. It's going to show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you got to start being selfish to yourself. It's like we're conditioned to take care of everything else, and then we take care of ourselves with what's left.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you said earlier, we're selfish with our bills sometimes. When I get paid, I'm not going to pay all the bills first.
Mm-hmm.
Let me borrow. And then the bills get left over, what's left over. That's just how we do. And we've been winning doing that. We used to always try to save. We're going to save up for this, for that.
Yeah.
We don't save up for nothing now. We just get it, and then we worry about the consequences later. We say we do some magic, and then all the consequences. Consequences.
I wasn't going to say anything.
The family heard that.
Yeah.
Family heard that. I think pretty much all your wants are based off your feelings. You know what I mean? Feelings are the fuels. I think it's the feelings are the fuels to your dreams. You know what I mean? I just think so, you know.
You said that earlier. I just love
it. I do love that. I do love that. The Spirit told me to say, I don't think somebody got it last time.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? We were on Ali's show earlier today, and I mentioned how people try to do everything and get nothing, but people that align themselves with their inner vibration and do nothing, they get everything. It's like the more you do, the less you get.
Mm-hmm.
And the less you do, the more you get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been like really focusing on. You know, Ali mentioned this 80-20 rule. And I don't know the rule altogether. I shouldn't even brought it up, but...
You
I'm in the flow of life right now. I don't care what my dog sound like I'm talking about. I don't care. All I remember is you get 80% of the reward with 20% effort. Versus you doing 80% effort and reaping 20% of the reward.
Right.
I don't even know what Ali said. I heard 80-20 and I was like, I'm running with it. You know what?
I don't care.
He made me like this. Charge him, God.
He didn't make you like this.
Tell him
he
no. That way I don't have any family members that love me because of Ali. But I don't care. Family, when you're being selfish, it's not really being selfish. Your chief concern should always gravitate around your own winning. Without focusing on your wins, you can't truly invest in yourself or help anyone else. You know, that's something my father used to tell me, and I didn't understand it when he was living. He used to always tell me to take care of self first. If you don't take care of yourself, nothing around you will be right. And I was like, man, that dude was so selfish. But, you know, he had a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? Because he was always focused on self, you know what I mean? So I understand it now that I've gotten older. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, but yeah. You want to go in on that?
Well, I just think that, you know, like I was saying earlier, there's advantages and disadvantages to being selfish. I think that you have to be selfish to a degree, but then you don't want to be selfish to the point where you're just all about self. You don't care about anybody else. You're not giving any light back. You're not doing anything to, you know, help anyone else out. But at the same time, you don't want to always give yourself where to the point where you're not doing anything, you're not, you know, reaping any rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the issue that you probably had with your dad, was that, you know, although he made a good point about, you know, putting himself first and everything, he always put himself first. So that's why you kind of had an issue with him on that. And I just think that, you know, you have to find that balance.
Uh-huh.
Life is all about balance. You find balance in everything, every act, everything. Just everything you do, everything you are is about balance. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that balance. If not, then, you know, then you'll be unbalanced. You'll either be extremely, you know, unhappy, or you'll be extremely unlikely.
What are some things that you did to help balance yourself?
Well, I noticed that when I would focus too much on certain things, I would think about how it made me feel.
Mm.
And if I didn't feel good, if I wasn't feeling healthy, if I wasn't feeling happy, if I wasn't feeling satisfied, then I knew I was unbalanced.
Mm.
So I took off of one tree and added to the other.
Okay. That's what's up.
You know, and if I noticed that, you know, I was maybe pursuing too much of myself or doing focus too much on myself, and people were like, you know, what happened to you? You know, where are you? How come you don't do this? And it was like, okay, you know, let me pull a little bit off, you know,
mm-hmm.
balance it out.
Well, you know, me on the outside looking in, I remember years ago, you were always talking about, I need help grounding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not grounded. And then one day you was like, you know what? I am grounded.
Mm-hmm.
You just changed up your whole paradigm of what grounding was.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know you're grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel as if you may be tinkering on the cusp of not being grounded, you've mastered some grounding tools.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think everyone needs to do self-assessments of themselves. I do it all the time.
You know, that's the hard part, because people aren't fully honest with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, and that's ego. We did a show, what was that, ego last week?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Everyone, ego will have you thinking that you're great.
You're the ish.
Yeah.
You can't tell me nothing.
You can't tell me nothing. I know everything.
You can't tell me nothing.
Why are you always trying to sing?
Because that's what I do. True.
Made me forget what I was saying. But, you know, I think that we get in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ego will have you thinking that, you know, you don't need help, you don't need to do anything, you have all the answers, and that's not true. You have to be realistic with yourself. You have to really do, you know, a self-assessment, like you said. And you have to be honest about it. You have to own up to who you are and what you are or what you're lacking in or what you need to cut back on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the hard part for people is that they don't want to give themselves that bad score.
Yeah.
They don't want to be, you know, at the bottom. They don't want to admit that they may need help.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's how we grow. That's how we learn from each other. That's how we expand, is by being a little vulnerable and you know, accepting that maybe we're not perfect. Maybe
yeah.
we do need a little bit of help. Maybe we do need. I remember when we went to a psychic festival a couple years back,
mm-hmm.
and one of the psychics who gave us a free reading, by the way,
streamed it. Hey, you two, come here.
Yeah. And he told me, you're not grounded. And I was like, what are you talking about? Yes, I am. And I knew I wasn't, but I wasn't ready to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, I wasn't ready to accept it to anyone else.
Right.
I would say it to you or, you know, people that were close or whatever, but I wanted to put up this kind of facade that, you know,
mm-hmm.
nah, I know what I'm doing. I got everything going on, you know. But that wasn't helping me. That wasn't benefiting me. And it wasn't helping anybody else.
Right.
You know, so you got to be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I forget where I was going with that, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I'm pretty sure the family got, they felt what you were saying. Yeah. You got any questions for me?
No.
All right.
Well, that was a play with me. When do you think you finally got to the point where you were okay with being selfish? Because with you, I'm going to expose you a little bit.
I don't care. Go ahead.
So you are, like you like to say, the, what do you call your number? The five? The
black sheep.
The black sheep of numbers. You're a life past five, which means that you like to give to others. You like
mm-hmm.
to mentor people. You like to counsel people. You want to be that informer. You like to, you know, take people under and teach them and,
yeah.
you know, and everything. And then you have that Libra in you where, you know, you have this soft side to you. You're undecisive, you know.
Yeah.
You always want to, you know, be fair to people and
yeah.
help them out. But you weren't making time for yourself.
I
so
wasn't.
When do you think that it finally clicked, other than Ali telling you, that you really had to start, you know, doing for yourself?
You know, it clicked for me about last year, not too long ago. It clicked like last year when I got real sick. I had some bad Chinese food, and I haven't had Chinese food since. Nothing against Chinese. Shout out to my Chinese brothers and sisters. But I got sick. It wasn't real Chinese food. It had the look of Chinese food. But but I got sick, and some of my family members called me and asked me to help move. And I was like, I'm sick. And the next day they called me. You ain't sick no more? Can you help us move? I said, I'm still sick. The next day, you feeling better? Can you help me move? This went on for like 7 days, every day.
You were really sick.
Yeah, I was really sick. And I very rarely ever get sick. That's the last time I was sick. Mm-hmm. And then the eighth day, they was like, are you sick? I said, no, I'm not sick no more. I'm feeling better. Can you help us move today? I was like, no. Why not? You ain't sick no more. And I was like, you know what? I just had to avoid them. That's when I knew, like, you know what? It's all about me. Mm-hmm. People don't care about me. They just care about what I can do for them. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do for them, they have attitudes. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it rolls. It clicked. Like, wait a minute. As long as I'm doing, they love me. Hey, come get something to eat. Come to this party. Come this, come that. Mm-hmm. But when I say no, oh, it's like he's the worst Negro in the world. And that's just how I felt. I still love them. If they need me, I'm going to tell them no. But, you know.
Yeah, because I remember a couple years ago when Ali was telling you the same thing, and he was like, you know, you got to start taking time for yourself and telling people no. Spreading yourself too thin.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, yeah, I am, yeah. But you didn't really, you knew it, but you didn't really put it fully into action.
Yeah.
You had started putting it into action, but it didn't really, really click until that moment.
Yeah, until that moment. So now my nickname is No. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be like really like my spiritual family. Spiritual family, I'm a little partial towards them, but I still tell them those most of the time. You know what I mean? So that's just how I roll, man. I've been winning ever since, and I've been more prosperous. I think I came here to learn to say no.
You know what kind of irks me is when people are asking for help on certain things that it's things where they're choosing not to think for themselves.
Uh-huh.
They want you to think for them, or they want you to give all the answers out for them versus, you know, them just trying to do their own research, or them trying to figure things out on your own. And I remember one time I called into Master Gibson's show, and I asked a question, and I can't remember what the question was, but I asked, like, well, what do you think this means? And he threw it back at me, and he was like, well, what do you think it means?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, damn, I know the answer to this. Why am I asking a question that I already know the answer to? And he knows I know the answer, so he let me know, like,
I know, you know.
Ooh,
yeah.
Pretty much. And then when I said it, it was like, you know, yeah.
It was like, next caller. Next caller.
But, you know, I think that some people are so used to always going to other people for help, or they just feel depleted. They feel like they can't do things, that they can't figure it out on their own, that it's just easier to go to someone else for the answers. And I think part of that is because we've been kind of brainwashed into thinking that, you know, you have to get the answers from certain sources, or, you know, you have to, you know,
have a teacher, have someone give you, versus
instead of you just trying to figure it out on your own.
Right.
A lot of times, the best way that I figure out my own answers, the way that I decipher my dreams, the way that I pick up on clues and signs and stuff, I meditate, I sit there and I think about it, I write it down, I'll go back and I review it later, you know, I put it in my notepad, I put it in my iPad, you know, and I go back and I reflect on it later, and it's like, oh, okay, well, this is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
I do my own research, I look things up, I watch videos, I read books. And if I still don't get an understanding on it, then I might go to someone else and say, what do you think?
You know what? Years ago, my mom brought me this book called Math Magic. And it taught me different ways to do math.
Yeah.
And I would get in trouble in school for not doing it the slow way that they taught children in school.
Yeah.
Not until my 10th grade year, I came across a teacher named Mr. Stefano. I'll never forget this Italian. I think he was in the mob. Because he would come in with these $200-$300 suits. He was the best dressed human I've ever seen. Hair slicked back like a gangster. I mean, he drove a Benz, and he had the most purest 3-point shot I've ever seen. Remember back when the kids would play all the students?
Yeah,
and he would just pull up. The students was up by like 30 the last 4 minutes. He just started ran on them. His 3-pointers, nothing but net. And he would always win. But anyway, he would allow me to express myself mathematically. He would tell me, Chris, if you can figure out another way to do these answers and get the right answer, as long as you show me your work, I accept. And I was like, okay. That's where I got the I accept from him back in 10th grade.
That's where
I got my phone. Mr. Stefano. He's already like, I accept that answer. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start using that accept. But anyway.
That was something you just came.
No, I stole it.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, while I was talking, you called me a thief, I got hurt.
You got hurt.
No, I didn't get hurt. I was there. You called me a thief.
What did you say after that?
I got hurt.
That's what I said. How did you get hurt?
I didn't get hurt.
Oh, God.
All right, you want to go in? I just think that you don't get what you want, you get what you already know you have.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is in life that you think you want, know you already have it. And the energy of knowing is not only powerful, it works.
Mm-hmm.
I start knowing I'm a winner. You know, I've never been onto the West Coast. The Masters having a seminar out there talking about astrology. And I never, you know, I was like, you know what, I'm going. I don't care how I'm getting there, I'm going.
Now, and it's crazy that you brought that up, because a couple years ago, we would have been like, oh, we can't go to Seattle.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's too far. It's too expensive. How are we going to do that? And as soon as it was announced, we were like, we're there.
We're there.
Before we even bought the ticket, we're there.
We were selfless. We started seeing ourselves on the plane, start looking at places we're going to stay, looking at Seattle. And that's the key. That's the real key to magic. Envisioning and literally seeing, smelling, trying to see as many details and smell it and feel it, as many details about whatever it is that you want. You got to do, you get, that's something that I had to learn to do.
Think that we're saying things like, oh, I believe I can do it. Instead of saying, I believe, you should say, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can do it. Because belief opens up room for doubt.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This may sound a little cliche or crazy, but Kelly's song, I Believe I Can Fly. When you think about those lyrics, man, I believe I can fly. I think about it every night and day, spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. See me running through that open door. It was like, that was some jewels. And I don't support R. Kelly, but that song right there, I was about to.
I
seen your brow shrivel up. And I was like, I'm not going to bless the audience then. I'm not going to bless them. But yeah, family. I just think, I don't believe in myself. I already know myself. You know what I mean? I hear a lot of people like, I can believe I can do it. Mm-hmm. Even our coach was like, I believe I can fly. I know I can fly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're leaving that room for doubt. You're leaving room for a possibility of failure.
Mm-hmm. I just think that when you believe, like you said, you're leaving the possibility for failure, but knowing is definite. I know. Someone said, hey, know something. He's like, okay, you know. It's a closed-ended thought. Like, he knows, okay. You know, unless he's an idiot, like, he don't know. Mm. But for the most case, even idiots, they think they know, and they try to convince someone who knows. You're like, this idiot?
Well, yeah, that's the other side of it. You got the people who think they know, and they don't know.
They don't know. You're like, oh, my God. You say he's living in his own world.
Yeah, exactly.
In your own world. That's right. But it worked for them.
In your world, they're winning.
They are winning. I've seen that. I know a lot of idiots who are winning.
Yeah.
Idiots. There's some idiots running the world right now.
Exactly.
And the smart people are broke.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm broke.
No.
I'm just saying some of them.
There are some smart people out there who are so determined on being angry about people being wrong or about people being idiots. So they're not doing anything about it. They're just hitting their fuse.
Yeah. That's a lot of that going on Facebook, too.
They're focused on being mad.
Yeah.
They're focusing on themselves. Not focusing on idiots. If they're an idiot, let them be an idiot.
Man, there's so much more good out here than it is bad. I think it's balance. But if it's balance, if there's something bad, choose to focus on something good.
Mm-hmm.
All you're doing is bringing your vibration down, and you're attracting other mad people.
Mm-hmm.
Because mad people love them. Like, oh, he's with me. I'm mad, too. But when you, like me, you go down my timeline, you don't see anything negative. Everything from videos to pictures to just my thoughts are always positive because I attract positive people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're negative, I block your post. I don't even want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to be selfish. Oh, that's my cousin. She don't know no better. Hey, I don't care. High timeline, fella.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a jewel right there.
Mm-hmm. You gotta even block your family
members. Mm-hmm.
Hide them, whatever. Avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
Well, back to being selfish, I just think that doing is better than reading and waiting.
Hmm.
You know, I thought when I first got on the path, you know, I was trying to read every book and just waiting on this magical thing to happen. But I found myself getting trapped into this learning bubble. It was if I was trying to learn everything versus just being and doing things. You know what I'm saying? Listening and reading and following can create a lifelong follower.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with reading and learning. But then, like you said, you have to put the third step in, which is applying.
Mm-hmm.
You can hold all this knowledge and everything, but if you're not applying it, then what are you doing with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you win the lottery and you have all this money, but then you just you sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I got all this money. What are you doing with it?
Yeah.
I'm just holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I just think that doing is always the best way to create your own know system.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you know something, you've done it, it worked for you, no one can take that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
If you took two steps forward and you won $50, but someone says, nah, you need to go back, it's like, but they're not making no money, don't listen to those fools.
Mm-hmm.
Be selfish and be like, have a nice life. And keep it going. I get inspired by winners.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're a loser if you're always hating somebody. I don't know any haters that are winning.
I love haters.
I do too. Haters make me win. Because if they hate on me,
that means I'm having an effect on you.
I'm having an effect on you.
Yeah. I love the haters. Shout out to the haters.
Haters, shout out to them. Shout out to the haters. You know, I once heard the master say, if you want it all, you have to believe you already know you have it.
Yeah.
No.
Positive affirmation is very, very important. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's the key to your success.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you speak things into existence, you will it to be. You're doing your own magic without even knowing you're doing your own magic. You're
mm-hmm.
creating. We're part of the creator. It's our job to create.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not just only supposed to exist. We're supposed to do things within our existence.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be creative.
I just think that things will happen as long as you know it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see that in, like, boxing matches all the time where the guy wanted to win. He just couldn't hit the guy. But in his mind, he's still swinging, still swinging. 12th round, 40 seconds left, he knocks the person out. Because he knew he was going to get it. You know, get tagged with that jab the whole fight. And all of a sudden, boom, he never had any doubt. And when you don't have any doubt, you don't stop the flow of your blessings. But if you believe or you know you're going to get something, if you have one inkling of doubt, you're going to stop the flow of your blessings. Period.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that no more. I don't stop the flow of my blessing.
You know, I used to doubt myself a lot on things that I would hear something and I'd be like, I know the answer to that. And when it came time to answer, then I would get scared, like, I don't know, is that the answer? You know,
mm-hmm.
and I would doubt myself. And now I've learned to trust myself, and I just have this way of just knowing now.
You do.
And I just believe in it. When I say that I know something and I put belief in it and I put it out there, then, you know, I'm not going to say I'm always right.
Most of the time.
But most of the time, yeah, you know, and I don't know, you just have to, believe in yourself and not doubt yourself and, you know, just trust yourself. Put
mm-hmm.
it out there.
I remember I had a donut 2 weeks ago. And I was like, ooh, I had a donut. He was like, you had more than one. I was like, how'd you know? He was like, I just know. So you looked at me like, I know you had two. I was like, man, this is, yeah, you know, this spirit, she's learning too much. Damn. But belief always allows the possibility to take place.
Mm-hmm.
People need to learn that, man. That's where the magic really starts, when you believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, back to the show. You want to go in on the show, babe? We was just talking about whatever. Come to our mind.
Well,
we were talking about being selfish.
I think you should commit to making self-care a priority.
Mm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you say that, babe?
Well, because recognizing that there is work to be done and that it's a top priority will set you up to keep it.
Mm. You know, I remember when when I was talking to Ali years ago. And I was like, man, you doing this, you doing that, man, you winning. He was like, no, I ain't. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, you were. He was like, don't say that. Mm-hmm. He said that when I get not complacent, but when I acknowledge all that I've done, it makes me less hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, he balancing that confident yet humble thing down pat. That's what I do. When I see someone who's winning, I try to mimic that. I don't steal what they're doing. I just take the energy that they see. I see the energy that they're doing. I get a mirror. I look at it, and I mimic it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a master. I mean, well, not a master, but this one dude told me, he was like, a master of something looks at a whole bunch of people and he takes things from them and master it. He said someone that's just doing okay, they look at one person and they mimic their actions. But a master takes from a bunch of different sources and apply it to themselves and makes it happen for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's jewel.
Yeah,
so that's what I do now. I look at a whole bunch of winners and I mimic what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just look at one person. I look at a whole bunch of people now who are winning.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing you said about what Ali was saying is that I think that that's really something when you can, you know, you have all these accomplishments, you have all these great things that you're doing and all these people that you've helped, but you take the ego out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not like, yeah, I'm the stuff. I'm a master. I helped you
right.
People do this. I did this. I'm the stuff. You know, and it's like you stay hungry because if you do become complacent, then, you know, then you become stagnant.
Yeah.
You know, you don't grow. You can't go any further. I remember one thing I heard him say once was he loves to see other people in the spiritual family winning because when we start winning, it lets him know that he got more work to do.
Mm, that was a jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've helped a lot of people, like my boy Gary and his girl. Shout out to my boy G Murder.
Mm-hmm.
And his queen, they're both getting the sun to blink. They asked me, how do you get the sun to blink? So I gave him all the free tools I've used. I say, hey, I'd like to share. Here you go, bro. Do this, say this mantra, learn this prayer. Go out there in the sunrise, sunset, establish a relationship. 30 days later, his sun blinking. And that, in turn, inspired his wife, I mean his significant other, to go out there and get the sun to blink.
You know what I liked about that, though, is that you know, I know we're talking about being selfish and everything, but you were going out of your way to help someone that you knew was going to put in the work.
Yeah.
There's a difference between giving light to someone that you know is going to apply versus being selfish to someone that you know will not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, then you're wasting my time.
Yeah.
I could be doing something else. I could be working on my website.
Yeah.
I could be doing some reading.
Yeah.
I could be reading.
Yeah.
Meditating.
Yeah. Could be loving me.
I could be loving you.
I accept.
Okay.
Show's over, fam.
I love you all the time.
Facts.
But yeah, I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving light and helping other people, but if you're just always giving,
mm-hmm.
and you're coming back with excuses,
oh.
or if you're telling them what to do and you're fighting it, but then the next day they turn around and they ask you for help again, you're draining me.
Yeah.
And if you're draining me, I'm not, you know, I gotta break away from you. I gotta rejuvenate myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't look after you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that those are the times where you have to be selfish, and not only with spiritual stuff, but with anything. You know, if someone, you know, needs a job, and you hook up their resume,
mm-hmm.
but then they don't go apply for anything,
oh.
but then they sit around and complain about how they don't have a job,
mm-hmm.
they can't do anything because they don't have a job, and it's like, make you upset, and you have to be selfish for your own sanity sometimes.
Yeah,
you'll go nuts.
You will go nuts.
You'll be mad. You'll be negative. You'll go nuts. You'll be unhappy. You know, because you've given all of yourself to this other person that's not valuing.
Mm-hmm. That's a jewel right there. That's a jewel right there, babe.
Mm-hmm.
I like when you said make yourself a priority.
Yeah.
You know, recognizing there's work to be done is a top priority. I like that. That was a jewel right there. You know what I like to do? I like to write down affirmations or a mantra to, that I can refer back to when I feel like my commitment is going off course or something.
You know what? My mom does that. She's
really?
Been doing that. She writes down like all these positive affirmations. She showed me all these notebooks she had when I was
older.
That's
beautiful, girl.
Like, all these notebooks I had. I wrote this quote down and I wrote this down. And then she takes, you know, the ones that she really likes that applies to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she sticks them on her bedroom mirror. So when she wakes in the morning, she's looking at it and she reads over it. Or before she goes to sleep at night, she's reminding herself of it again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a way to continually work on yourself.
Yeah. Well, I can't say enough. I'm proud of both of our moms.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really proud of Carol, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's done a complete 180.
Oh, yeah.
A complete 180. Just sometimes I come home from class or whatever, and I hear on the phone just spewing news. I'm like, that sounds like Carol. You're like, that's my mom. I'll be like, man, I interrupt the conversation. This is letting know how proud I am of her. You know, she's applied being selfish too.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She stopped letting people just negative conversations. She makes the hang up or just not call them. I love that, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's so rewarding and refreshing to see people that you love in your circle grow with you.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's one of the most rewarding aspects of being on a spiritual, metaphysical, occult journey. You know what I mean? It really does.
Uh-huh.
It really does. I like to communicate to those around me that I love why I'm being selfish. I don't really know any, I don't owe anyone any explanations or anything.
Uh-huh.
But if you do love and care about people close to you, explain how you're feeling and why it's important that you don't help them. Like, hey, I can't help you because I got this going on.
Uh-huh.
And they love you and they care about you, they'll understand.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It'll help them not take it personal.
There you go.
Instead of them just thinking that you got a problem with me.
Right.
No, I don't have a problem with you. I got a problem with myself that I need to work on.
Jill.
Yeah, work on me. Can't work on you. Can't
mm-hmm.
work on me. I suggest you work on you too.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
You know, we're talking about being selfish and all that, but there's still comes a time when you need to put others first too, though.
Definitely.
You know, self-care doesn't mean neglecting your relationships or your friends or your family. Saying that, it requires a lot of work, but prioritizing is the key, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
If like a big event happens in one of my friends' life or my family's life, I'm not going to be like, I'm out. I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might have to go just to, you know, show your support.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that whatever you do, if you care about someone, take time to listen or engage with them. Let them know what's really going on, and they'll understand. They'll feel it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't make it a priority if you have something that you need to do. Let's say you set a deadline for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, they invite you to this last-minute thing that they have going on. I don't think you should feel bad that, you know, that you don't go.
Yeah, you never feel bad for any choice you make.
Mm-hmm.
You do it, it's done, I can't change it. Feeling bad is a choice. You don't have to feel bad. I just think that, I just think taking care of the needs of others, you know what I mean? If you're always taking the care of needs of others, you're denying them the opportunity to be responsible for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you're preventing them from making their own success.
Mm-hmm. I help others by allowing them to help themselves.
Say that again. Say it again.
I help others by allowing them to help themselves.
I might get that tatted on me.
No, you won't.
I won't. You're crazy.
Because, you know, like I said earlier, when I asked the question to Master Gibson and he threw it back at me, you know, when he threw it back at me, as soon as he threw it back at me, it was like, duh, it came to me. And it was like, I knew it already. And it was, you know, I was like, why did I ask that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think a lot of times people are so caught up in the doubt stage that they don't believe that they can do anything for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when you leave someone to the point where they have to do it for themselves, they'll do it.
Yeah.
If they want it.
That's when you really find out who you are, when you have nowhere to turn.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go out and ask people for help. Because, you know, I still ask for help sometimes. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for help. I think we all...
You ask me, like, baby, I'm like, I got you. I got you.
We all have to, you know, rely on other people sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. But you just don't want to make it to the point where you're putting everything off on them.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes people got to have to help themselves. And when you leave them high and dry like that, they'll
figure it. They need it. They're hungry.
You know, there's been times where I remember a while back, I was getting a lot of questions about deciphering dreams.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was like, well, what do you think this dream means? And I would say, you know, well, you know, you're the best person to break down what your dreams mean. I know, but I can't figure it out. So what do you think it means?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I can give you what my interpretation is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my interpretation. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily right for you. This is what I would get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what's going on in your everyday life. I don't know your secrets in the closet. I don't know, you know, the things that you're trying to work on, the things you're doing or whatever. So for me, this is how I would interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was a couple times where I did some interpretations. And for the most part, people would say, like, oh, yeah, that's right on, that's dead on. But every once in a while, it'd be a couple people to say, no, I don't think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so what do you think it is then?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it could mean this? It could. What do you think?
Uh-huh.
If I had to keep throwing it back at them, you know, and then eventually they would get it, you know, and then they'd go, well, yeah, you know, I think you do mean this. Or I would always tell them, like, well, write it down and come back to it later. Maybe you're not ready for another.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to the point where, you know, with, you know, a couple people, it was a little draining.
Mm-hmm. I remember what I used to do was, it may seem harsh.
It may seem harsh. But I used to unfriend people. I used to unfriend them and block them.
Mm-hmm.
And Divine Queen would stay friends with them. And then she'd come back to me and be like, oh my God, so-and-so made a 4180. They doing this, they doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be proud from afar. Because as long as I was their crutch, they weren't growing.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I threw that crutch away, it allowed them to stand, reflect on them being like, always asking me questions,
mm-hmm.
and fly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the most rewarding things of being selfish and letting someone find themselves. They may never talk to you again. They may be mad at me. I don't care. But what I do care about is them growing. You know, that's one thing that I do pride myself on. I don't care about the delivery as long as the desired result is achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll say it. I lie to people just to encourage them.
You lie?
I lie. You think you sound good? I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. Keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get them inspired and to make them feel as though, oh, I'm doing good. I'm just being real.
Damn.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think we all need to learn our boundaries well and be assertive about them. I just think learning your boundaries is one of the most difficult yet important parts of self-care. It requires close listening and trusting your intuition. If something doesn't feel right, don't compromise your boundaries to appease someone or because you're feeling guilty. You're not serving yourself or anyone by doing so. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That people in my group, people in my circle, were not spiritual punks. I remember
I remember the first time I heard somebody say that in subcon, I lost it. Who's a spiritual punk? I was like, man, I couldn't wait to use that term. You know what I mean? And we don't rock with spiritual punks out here, man. I'm not a spiritual. You a spiritual punk? I already know you ain't. I wish I could have seen that face. She pumped them lips up and rolled those big brown eyes at me. Oh. You know what? This is something that I don't do it physically, but I make a mental list. I make a list of things that make me feel best. You know, I want the family to think about things that makes them feel best physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, like for me, on my list is like helping my family, my intermediate family, you know, my wife and my daughter, martial arts, meditation, and spiritual work is like a priority for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a priority for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a priority list in your mind, you're not going to grow. You know, set goals. You know, how will you measure your progress if you don't set goals?
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Both, I like to set short-term and long-term goals. They're both equally important. You laughing at my me tongue twister?
I'm laughing at them and laughing at you.
I might stay her in her room and lock her in her room. You know, I get real passionate, and sometimes my words do slur when I get passionate.
It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. I just found it best to also decide which of these goals are non-negotiable and which goals are more, you know, more flexible.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Like, I've noticed that the more I grow, the more my goals change. So it's good to stay flexible on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
I remember when I first got on the spiritual path, and I was like, well, yeah, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to try this, and I'm going to dabble in this. And then I lost interest in it. It was like, man, that's just not for me. I don't want to do that. And then on some things, I'm right back at it again. And now I'm working on those things. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this now. I'm doing this. And I'm right back at, you know, where I was. And then on some things, I've grown past it. It's like, you know, I look back on some of my old notes on the things that I was going to do. And I was like, that was some whack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, now I'm moving on to, you know, bigger and better things. So, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I just think the family, be easy on yourself. Life is a process, and we're all human. Any feelings that come up, like, in the self-exploration process, are there to teach us something? You know what I mean? Why am I feeling this way? What triggered it? Observe it and let it go. I like to categorize things. Like, no matter what it is, someone tell me about politics. I categorize it. That means nothing to me. And I just watch they look smooth because I don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You know what I tell people is that when something is bothering you, or even when you have like ideas or something like that that comes up, don't only just observe what happened in that action or in that moment. Also observe everything else that was going on around you at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Observe how you were feeling that day. Observe how the weather was. Observe how, you know, your emotions were feeling, or how you were feeling, you know, all kind of things. Because all of it plays in, and it is a factor in, you know, the things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And how you should move forward with it.
Me personally, being selfless, you automatically bring more balance into your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
You really do, because that should be like a thin line between help and helping self.
And you should be a thin line between love and hate.
Ooh, it's a thin line. Between love and hate. Ah, that was my cut back in the day. I didn't have a girlfriend yet. I was like, bro, when I get a girlfriend, it's going to be a thin line between love and hate.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about the movie.
I'm thinking about, like, I don't know, the Delphonics, who made that song? It's a thin line between love. You're too young to know about that.
Yeah.
I'm a god.
The
Delphonics? I've always been around.
I was in here
specifically. I was there. I'm not old, I'm seasoned.
Oh,
that's right.
Something old people say.
Ooh.
This way.
know what? As we approach the closing time, I just want the family to think about what it would mean to you and your life happiness if you learned the art of being selfish. Mm-hmm. How would your attitude change once you learn to honor your commitments to yourself? Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of times where I made commitments that I was going to do something, and then I just stop. And it'd be like Wednesday, and I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to pick up Monday. Monday come around, I'd be like, I'm too tired.
I start next Monday.
3 months gone by, I haven't done nothing. I never started. So there's no time like today. There's no time like right now. And I don't care how long it's been. When you're rocking with the Spirit, it's always compound interest. If I meditate 5 days in a row, I take 5 days off. If I start back, it's not day one again. It's day six. And I want the family to look at it like that. I remember when I first set my altar up years ago, I would go 1 week, I would go every day. The next week, I probably wouldn't go, or I'd go every other day. Now I make it a point to be over there every day, acknowledging my ancestors, filling up the water, giving them food, and just giving thanks for them just being in my presence and guiding me. I want to share with the family that what I've learned was when I tend to my ancestors, I acknowledge the Spirit, I acknowledge the elements and the deities I rock with, my days go by better. I don't get angry. Once I constantly immerse myself in the Spirit, saying these mantras all day for no reason, just saying it, I get stronger. I just noticed that about myself. You know what I mean, babe? Do you feel the same way?
I'm just playing.
You're turning into me. You always say I'm going 5 steps.
I don't go 5 steps.
No, you go to the jugular. You go right to the jugular with those teeth. Stop juggling me.
I don't juggle.
You do. I used to camp on you when we first started doing this show. You want me to be like the old Chris and like...
Are you threatening me?
I'm threatening you on the air.
Oh.
Man, let me get back to this show. You know, we've been together 23 years, family. She still doesn't listen to me. A lot of women be like, my man never listens to me. I'm here to tell the Lord my wife don't listen to me. It's a joke that me and my daughter have. I answer a question, and then about 4 minutes later, she's like, what'd you say? I was looking at my daughter like, she know me listening. We do it like 4 times every day. I'll be like, look at that, babe. By the time she look, it's long gone. I'll be like, what is going on?
I'm being selfish.
I see. You mastered it.
I know.
I was thinking about you when I was writing all this stuff. Like, you know what? Think about the Vine Queen. Man! You're lucky, you cute! Sorry for screaming, family. I just want the family to know how you feel once you start to communicate in ways that are loving and caring towards yourself will empower others to take responsibility for their own needs. Like when you start doing for self, taking care of yourself, making sure yourself is the number one priority, other people will see that and mimic that. I see other people on my spiritual dream team doing it, and I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like a domino effect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just want the family to make a commitment to try some of these suggestions we made in the show. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if it's one or two things. Just take something and apply it in your life. Everything we talk about are things that we've done to make us winners. Maximizing our spiritual growth, maximizing our humanity, whatever. You know, that's the whole premise of this whole show. We're not making any money off the show. You know, last year we was like, you know what? We just need to get on the radio and just give some light. Share.
Well, because that's also how you make connections, you grow. When you give a piece of yourself, then you get pieces back from other people, and then you grow, and you know, you inspire other people and they in turn inspire you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how it works. Everyone thinks that we're supposed to just have this one leader or something that you go to or something that you're just supposed to bow down to this one person, and that's not how it works. We're all leaders. We're all masters. We're all gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
I just want to give a shout out to the nice young lady in the chat,
mm-hmm.
Tracy Reese. She out there winning.
I think it's
Trees. Trees Reese. I'm sorry. I was thinking, is that Trees or Trice? But, you know, I was thinking, it's supposed to be Tracy, but hey, it don't matter. She's winning.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I just want to say thanks for the support, sis, for just being in the chat today.
Mm-hmm.
You out there winning, making us smile. You know what I'm saying? That's man, I'm. Anyone listening on the lines right now, all the lines are lit up. And I just love it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. Because if they wasn't on the line, we'd have a show anyway.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
What we do.
Always talk to each other. So we're about to wrap the show up, family. And it's about 8:34. We usually go for 2 hours, but I'll be honest with you. I'm about to cook this delicious meal, and we do what we want to do. I'm about to make these crab cakes, and I make the best baked potato on earth, family. And when I'm done, I may share a pic for y'all. So, you want to go do a little closing? Mm-hmm. You got any, like,
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Say anything. Like I said, I'm sorry, Sam, but my energy was just low. I blame my daughter. She had me up late last night.
Don't be sorry.
I'm not sorry.
That's right. You were just up late last night enjoying your life.
That's right.
When? Yeah, I fell asleep at 10:30. I ain't sorry. I'm not sorry. I gotta work on my vernacular. I'll be on this radio. I'll be just straight downtown. That's an ongoing joke in the house. Like whenever I do something, they just say, "Good daddy." I can't help that I'm a product of my environment. I chose to grow up in the hood before I came here.
I love your ghetto way.
Do you? Now, when something pop off, she look at me like, get him, Chris. She loved me then. She loved me then. It's something about a big dude looking you dead in your eye telling me, hey, you better do what's right, bro. And it gets done. I don't mean to be the Debo, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm a spiritual Debo. I do it with a frown on him. Sometimes.
Spiritual bully.
I am a spiritual bully. I don't care. You need to learn the miracle prayer if you're going to rock with me. You don't learn the miracle prayer, you're not going to the mound with me. You better learn it. I remember the first time Ali took us up to the mound, the miracle prayer, I was like, Adam McCoy, get you up. Everybody else knew it. I was like, oh, I'm not going to come up here no more without knowing this prayer. Now I'm like 30 prayers deep, like Anna McCoy, the Nisa Wajai, the Great Wolf Octet. I'm out here winning with these prayers, fam.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you all to win, too. And I really appreciate you guys supporting us, staying on the line, listening to Divine Queen that crazy.
What?
So, yeah, Divine Queen, crazy. Yeah. You got any closing things to say, sweetie?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to say thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening.
What you mean? What's in your cup?
It's herbal tea.
Is herbal tea in that cup?
It is.
I thought a little gin in there. So.
No, I don't drink alcohol.
Me neither no more. Aren't you proud of me? It's been over a year. It is. Man.
Anyway. I want to thank the family for calling in.
I already said that. I'll just mess with you. Go ahead.
Listening to my crazy
wife.
No, I don't have a wife. Don't call yourself a wife. You're my husband.
Man, go away.
No, But thanks, family, for calling in. We want to thank you for taking some time out of your Sunday to spend time with us, especially on your Easter Sunday. We know that everyone had a beautiful day and got to eat good and be good and feel good. And we will be back next Sunday. Yeah, we will be back next Sunday.
Yeah, we'll be back.
I was thinking about the retreat. We'll be back next Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what we're going to be talking about because we don't know yet.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what we talk about. Beer.
We are getting ready to. We will be off the air, though. I want to give people a warning. We'll be off the air that last Sunday.
The last Sunday of April.
And the following Sunday as well.
Yeah, we'll be at the retreat.
So
in Gatlinburg.
We're going to be at the Spiritual Soul Glow Retreat.
Number two.
Mm-hmm. And the following Sunday, we'll be on a plane flying back from Seattle from the Masters. So, yeah. So, tune in next Sunday. Enjoy us while you can because we'll be on a 2-week hiatus. We can do that.
We. Enjoy my mother. Things to do. Mm-hmm.
All right, fam. So we're out. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Divine. And I'm Christian Light. I'm Christian Light. I was looking at your picture. And I'm Christian Light. Have a great night. Have a great night, family.
Peace, love, and light, family.